In America, there is depression and mental health issues. And we're looking at what does the Word of God say about these two things. Should a Christian have those things? A straight answer is no. If you want a straight answer, it is no. But it is not enough to just say no. We would have to prove by the Word of God that what we're saying is factual, is true. Hallelujah. And that He asks us to say so. Amen. Now, when we are not in Christ, we have a way of reasoning. Hallelujah. When you're born into this world, you were taught to reason a certain way. You're given things to do. You learn from your teachers, your parents, the people you associate with. You get to learn from them. Hallelujah. But when you come to Christ, you are required to change the way you think. Hallelujah. Now, the way we're thinking in Christ is not strange. That was the way Adam was thinking before he fell. Now, under the law, people had mental health issues when they disobeyed God. Israel. We're dealing with Israel. Praise the Lord. Because under the first covenant, Israel were the people of God. As we are, everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is of God today. Now, if you have not given your life to Christ and you're here today, you would need to do that for you to benefit from the covenant, from the conditions or the blessings under the new covenant. If you're not in Christ, you're not entitled to it. You are outside the covenant. All right. So under the law, there were blessings and curses. When you believe God, you get blessed. When you believe and obey the Lord, you will be blessed. When you disobey Him, a door opens to you for you to be cursed. I'll say that again. When people live contrary to the will of God, they open a door to be cursed. All the evil things we see upon the earth came from the curse. They came from the fall of Adam and Eve. The Bible says, through the disobedience of one man, sin came into the world, and death through sin. When man was created, man was not created to die. And medical science tells us that they do not know when man dies because we have the body has the ability to reproduce the cells. So why does it come to an end at some point? Hallelujah. It's because the Word of God rules the universe. The Word of God rules the universe. Whatever God says goes. Whether we like it or not, it's what God says. God is the King of the universe, and He's our Father, if you're saved here today. Amen. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, "And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt group at noonday as the blind groupeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee." But you know, if we just dive to that place, it will look strange. What are we trying to do? Let's go to verse 1 and see where God began to speak, all right? Because this thing stemmed from somewhere. Amen? It says, "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." It says, "Blessed shall thou be in the city, blessed shall thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy kin, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." That's like your bank account. And blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land. These are blessings which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he had sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Verse 15 says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So it's a curse shall that be in the city cursed, and it goes on and on before it comes to verse 28. Praise the Lord. There's so many things there, I don't even like to say them. But mental health issues and depression come under the curse of the law. It's a curse. It's not a blessing. It's not. It doesn't just occur. It's a curse. Hallelujah. It's a curse. Now, it's in the world. It came into the world through the fall of Adam. But God began to regiment things and to put them in order by bringing in the law. The law did not make, the law did not create sin. Sin was already in the world, but the law made it evident. Now, if you go to a nation where there is lawlessness, except you start making rules, everybody just did whatever they liked, or they just do whatever they like. When you start making rules, then people can become guilty of an offense. Praise the Lord. Before the law of Moses, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed because there was no law. So everyone did whatever seemed right in their sight. Hallelujah. Then God brought the law. The law was for him to exempt anyone who believes it and walks under it. So the law was not something, is not something bad. It was put there to give God an opportunity to bless those who will agree with him and place a basis for judgment and for people to understand what is wrong and the reason why some of the stuff that were happening to them. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. Now, we come to the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus, through the work of the redemption, redeemed man from the original curse, which brought death into the lineage of man. Originally, man was not supposed to die. We've said that. Death, there are two kinds of death that the scriptures talk about. The first is separation from God, and that is the real death. The second is cessation of life as we know it upon the earth. Everyone who's born into this world is born into spiritual death, into a state of separation from God. We become reconciled to God when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and agree with the covenant, with the doctrine. When we come to Christ, God snatches us out of the kingdom of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, and makes us members of the family of God and partakers of the covenant. We become partakers of God's divine nature and the benefits of his kingdom. Everything that God ever made, we become heirs to it because we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God made it that way. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, in verse 26, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." It says, "And I will put my spirit within you." This does not occur until you come to Christ. You know, some people, when we tell them, "You need to give your life to Christ, you need to be a Christian," they say, "No, no, no, no. You want to give me religion now." So, because the flesh is crying out and saying, "I can't live that way." And truly, you cannot live that way. The Bible says, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." They cannot. It's not that they may try, but they will never be able to please the Lord. So for you to be able to please God, your nature has to change. And that change comes when you give your life to Christ. God, you give God the legal right to come in and give you a new heart and a new spirit. And he goes further and says, "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So he gives us a new spirit that helps us to live for him. Without that spirit, you cannot live for him. All right. So in the new covenant, it tells us, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." So we're not looking at the outward appearance. We're looking at the inward man. Remember, we said that there was a way we reasoned before we came to Christ. There's a way we reason now that we are in Christ. These things need to change. Hallelujah. We need to change them. If we don't, we can't walk with God. Therefore, having said this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It says, "And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us the ministry of reconciliation." Beyond all that, he has given us the ability to live for him in this new creation, as we read in the book of Ezekiel. Praise the Lord. He said, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Which means that when we come to Christ, our sins are not imputed to us. What I mean by that is that your past sins are gone. Both the things that Adam did and the ones you did, they are gone. You become, because you're a new creature now. You're, as far as God is concerned, you're a newborn baby. Remember that the real things are the permanent things, not the things we see. The Bible says that the things that are seen are temporal. He said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It says, "To wit, that God was in Christ," verse 19, "reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So God took him who knew no sin and made him to become sin. God took our sin. Let's say that this whole box here, this speaker here, is sin. God took it and put it into Jesus. And made Jesus sin and left us without any sin. But if that was all that he did, it would have been fantastic. But that wasn't just what he did. He took the righteousness of Jesus and imputed it to us. That is what we call the substitutionary work of Christ. That one died for all, therefore all died. He paid a price for us to be redeemed and brought back to God. So now that we are in Christ, we are righteous, new creatures. We are not the old man, we're a new man. The old man has been crucified with Christ. So there's a new person now. And the Bible includes that the body of sins has been destroyed. But if you keep thinking the way you were thinking before you got saved, you would think you're the same person. But you're not the same person. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God. For to be carnally minded is death, spiritual death. If you want to walk in death, be carnally minded. All you can see are physical things. Not in the realm of God. You're not reasoning the way God wants you to reason. So all these things we encounter in the world will be there. Depression, divorce, rebellion, you know, violence, terrorism, all those things. They come as a result of the flesh because the flesh was corrupted by the evil one through the fall of Adam. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you come to Christ, you are told to change your way of thinking. Don't reason like the world. Don't borrow the things of the world. Because you're new now. If you feed the way you were feeding your mind before, you will poison your spiritual life. And you become ineffective. So now, there is a curse at work in the world due to the fall of Adam. But there is a blessing at work in the believer because of Jesus Christ. Now, these two things are spiritual laws or spiritual principles. Just like there is gravity at work, but aircrafts fly. How do aircrafts fly? They obey the laws of aerodynamics. They take off based on some laws and land based on some laws. Stay in the air based on some laws. Put the engine here, put that, the ship, the body of the aircraft, everything affects what it's doing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay. In Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 8 again. Verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, after their senses, but after the Spirit. It says, verse 2 is where we're going. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life are the spiritual things that I ought to be mindful of. They make me free. They render the law of sin and death ineffective as long as I'm in the law of the Spirit of life. As long as I believe what God says, I'm free from what the devil is doing. I'm a new creature. I'm a child of God now. That's who you are. And you do the things that please God and you live in victory. And God says something about the one who believes in him. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. Let's start it from verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Then he says, verse 4, which was where we're going. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In Habakkuk, he said, the just shall live by his faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith in Christ. And faith in Christ includes that we believe everything that Jesus said and everything that God said in his word. We believe it in the proper order, rightly divided. We don't just grab a scripture and run with it without knowing if there are any mitigants to it, if there are things qualifying it. Praise the Lord Jesus. So there is madness if we don't obey. And now we're called to live by faith. So obedience to God is living the life of faith and walking in love.